When the First Continental Congress convened in 1774 in Philadelphia, they had no clue what they were going to actually be talking about. But they all agreed on one thing, that the British government was corrupt, tyrannical, and beyond reform or repair. Now, from that body would come nearly every signer of the Declaration of Independence, over half the delegates to the Constitution Convention, and the first five American presidents. Well, the new Christendom Committees of Correspondence hopes to follow in those legendary footsteps in convening its first annual Congress upon these rocks, building Christian communities from the rubble of modernity. The Congress will be held near the Crusade Channel Studios in Mandeville, Louisiana, April 30th through May 2nd, and you're invited. So, register as a delegate or attend as a layperson by heading to upontheserocks.co. Join me alongside Brother Andre Marie, David Simpson, and many, many more special guests. All the information and registration data you need is at upontheserocks.co or call 844-527-8723. We'll see you in May.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Ron Stafford.
Good morning, Crusaders. Welcome to Tuesday, April the 27th, 2021. I'm Ron Stafford, reporting from the Crusade Channel News Desk at Stafford Studios in beautiful St. Michael's, Maryland. This report is brought to you by McClure Tables, using Michigan hardwoods in Michigan to make the best made in the USA shuffleboards on the market. Shuffle on over to McClureTables.com. That's McClureTables.com. Here's what to listen for this hour. A Quebec woman says she did not mail poison to Trump. A CEO unloads stock, and an Italian lay missionary is killed this past weekend. A Quebec woman accused of mailing poison last year to Donald Trump pleaded not guilty to added charges in a Washington, D.C. courtroom yesterday. Pascal Ferrier, who was previously charged with threatening to kill and injure the U.S. president, also now faces charges of sending threats through the mail and violating biological weapons prohibitions. All three charges stem from a letter containing the poison ricin that U.S. federal prosecutors alleged Ferrer sent to President Trump at the White House with a note that if the poison didn't work, the writer would use their gun. David Boss, a public defender representing Ferrer, asked U.S. District Court Judge Dabney L. Friedrich to recommend that Ferrer, who is currently being held in a regional jail in Virginia, be transferred to another facility. In other news, Emergent BioSolutions CEO Robert G. Kramer unloaded approximately $10 million in company stock in January and early February before the company ruined 15 million doses of Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine in March due to contamination. The transactions were Kramer's first substantive sale of Emergent stock since April of 2016. Based on the market price, the stocks that Kramer sold would now fetch only about $5.5 million. Finally, Nadia De Munari, a 50-year-old Italian lay missionary who was part of Operation Mato Grosso, which serves the poor in Peru, died on April 24th after being attacked in her residence. There was no witnesses to the crime. The news has greatly grieved the community of Nuevo Jumbote, where she served hundreds of poor children. According to the local newspaper, Diario de Jumbote, the woman was attacked in the early hours of April the 21st at the Mamma Mia home run by Operation Mato Grosso, located in a poor neighborhood in Nuevo Jumbote, a town on the northern coast of Peru, about 250 miles north of Lima. The missionary ran six daycare centers or kindergartens and a primary school where about 500 children were served. Our quote of the day comes from St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Joy is a net of love by which we catch souls. Coming up, our saint of the day, he became known for his strong support of the Catholic faith during the Protestant Reformation in Germany, Austria, Bohemia, Moravia, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. You're listening to Crusade Channel News.
Hey, did you know seasoning your ribs and pulled pork is easier than you think? With Mike Church's Beast and Butt Rub, you don't need to spend hours finding the perfect ratio of herbs and spices. Beast and Butt Rub is an award-winning blend of herbs and spices perfect for ribs, pork chops, or pulled pork. Wow your family and friends at your next barbecue and order your bag of Beast and Butt Rub today. Go to MikeChurch.com/rub.
Our saint of the day is St. Peter Canisius. The energetic life of this man should demolish any stereotypes we may have of the life of a saint as dull or routine. Peter lived his 76 years at a pace which must be considered heroic, even in our time of rapid change. A man blessed with many talents, Peter is an excellent example of the scriptural man who develops his talents for the sake of the Lord's work. Peter was one of the most important figures in the Catholic Reformation in Germany. He played such a key role that he has often been called the Second Apostle of Germany, in that his life parallels the earlier work of Boniface. Though Peter once accused himself of idleness in his youth, he could not have been idle too long, for at the age of 19 he received a master's degree from the university at Cologne. Soon afterwards he met Peter Faber, the first disciple of Ignatius of Loyola, who influenced Peter so much that he joined the recently formed Society of Jesus. At this early age, Peter had already taken up a practice he continued throughout his life, a process of study, reflection, prayer, and writing. After his ordination in 1546, he became widely known for his editions of the writings of St. Cyril of Alexandria and St. Leo the Great. Besides this reflective literary bent, Peter had a zeal for the apostolate. He could often be found visiting the sick or imprisoned, even when his assigned duties in other areas were more than enough to keep most people fully occupied. In 1547, Peter attended several sessions of the Council of Trent, whose decrees he was later assigned to implement. After a brief teaching assignment at the Jesuit College at Messina, Peter was entrusted with a mission to Germany. From that point on, his life's work. He taught in several universities and was instrumental in establishing many colleges and seminaries. He wrote a catechism that explained the Catholic faith in a way that common people could understand, a great need of that age. Renowned as a popular preacher, Peter packed churches to those eager to hear his eloquent proclamation of the gospel. He had great diplomatic ability, often serving as a reconciler between disputing factions. In his letters, filling 8 volumes, one finds words of wisdom and counsel to people in all walks of life. At times, he wrote unprecedented letters of criticism to leaders of the church, yet always in the context of a loving, sympathetic concern. At the age of 70, Peter suffered a paralytic seizure, but he continued to preach and write with the aid of a secretary until his death in his hometown of Nijmegen in the Netherlands on December the 21st, 1597. Peter's untiring efforts are an apt example for those involved in the renewal of the church or the growth of moral consciousness in business or government. He is regarded as one of the creators of the Catholic press and can easily be a model for the Christian author or journalist. Teachers can see in his life a passion for the transmission of truth. Whether we have much to give, as Peter Canisius did, or whether we only have a little to give, as did the poor widow in the Gospel of Luke, the important thing is to give our all. It is in this way that Peter is so exemplary for Christians in an age of rapid change when we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. Send me your news tips to ron@crusadechannel.com. Stay tuned to the Crusade Channel with live breaking news updates all day and the best live talk radio anywhere. Up next, the Mike Church Show continues. I'm Ron Stafford for the Crusade Channel, seeking news and finding truth.